WDEE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Southern California, just as fire crews are dousing the flames from this past week of wildfires, officials are warning of another round of extreme winds starting tonight. Hurricane-force gusts are expected. At least 24 deaths are blamed on the wildfires this past week. More than a dozen others are still missing. L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna says fires may be out in some neighborhoods, but he urged residents under evacuation to wait until orders are lifted.
We understand, again, that people want to go back, but it is dangerous to do so, and we will not put anybody's safety at risk.
Authorities say they're investigating the origins of the fires, including possible arson or transmission lines sparking the Eaton fire. Senate lawmakers begin confirmation hearings this week for more than a dozen of President-elect Trump's cabinet picks, including Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth. And a tsunami warning has expired following a 6.9 magnitude earthquake in southwestern Japan. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The man arrested and charged in the deaths of three people in New Lisbon has a $5 million bond set in the case during an appearance Friday afternoon in a Juneau County courtroom. Judge Stacey A. Smith ruled the large bond was appropriate for Virgil Thu after hearing comments from Juneau County District Attorney Kenneth Hamm. Originally charged with three counts of first-degree intentional homicide in the deaths of Elizabeth Kolba and two juvenile female ages 12 and 13, more charges were filed against Thu. They included three counts of hiding a corpse, possession of a firearm by a felon, take and drive vehicle without consent, and resisting obstructing an officer. During his comments, Hamm asked for the high cash bond after detailing what Thu did during the 12 days after the homicides and before his arrest. Hamm said that Thu admitted to law enforcement after his arrest Thursday that he tried to hide his crimes as well as try to elude law enforcement. Hamm told the court that Thu stuck to rural areas and also took a car in an effort to get away. A Juneau County Sheriff's deputy arrested Thu in Elroy early Thursday afternoon after someone called the sheriff's office to report a suspicious person. Thu returns to court on February 13th. A fight over the upcoming state budget is already looming in the legislature. Speaking to WISN's Upfront, Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux says his Republican colleagues will be tossing out much of Democratic Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal.
All of his policy issues that he's already talking about, we'll pull out all the policy issues right away. It's a budget. It's not a policy vision for the governor.
Lemieux says Republican leadership is planning to send along a separate tax cut bill before getting into budget proceedings, and that Republicans aren't going to honor a request to fully fund the UW system.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers lose to the Eagles. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers fell behind early and lost to the Eagles 22-10 to bring Green Bay's season to an end. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
You can't start the way we did and to fumble the opening kick and then turn it into a touchdown and beat set down 7-0 from the jump. You know, it was obviously too much to overcome. But I appreciate the heck out of our guys in that locker room. Those guys show up every day with a great attitude, great energy, and compete. And I thought our guys competed to the final whistle.
Quarterback Jordan Love threw three interceptions in the game and was asked what happened to the Packers' offense in losses to Minnesota, Chicago, and now Philadelphia.
I'm not sure. You know, it's something that we'll look at and figure out in the offseason to clean up. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much just comes down to executing and making plays out there and just wasn't good enough.
NBA, the Bucks losing to the Knicks 140-106. New York's Jalen Brunson with 41 points. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sunny and cold today, with high temperatures tapping the mid-teens and winds blustery, whipping up to 30 miles per hour, creating frigid wind chills where we're really feeling sub-zero all day, and a chance of a few flurries flying around late. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 10 degrees at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. Sandy Williams will be here to talk about what to expect from the Trump administration with the inauguration less than a week away.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, January 13th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite as the sun has come out amongst or around most of Wisconsin. Nip is in the air, but Mr. Zommers, it's January, so what do we expect?
Yeah, this is what we expect.
Right, exactly. And, you know, for our ag community, for our tourism community, it would be good to get some snow. Understand that maybe parts of the state may be in line for some snow a little bit later. But boy, it is dry out there. And as weird as it sounds in the middle of winter to say we are under drought conditions, that's exactly what we're going for. And we could really use some precipitation for our ag and tourism community. So we hope that is on the way. But bundle up. Like I say, it's January. What can we expect? And it's good. It's good to have this cold weather because it does great things for nature. You know, a lot of certain insects need to be frozen out to kind of equal things out. And also good for sickness. A lot of these germs need that cold to kind of like stop it. So I welcome the cold.
Yeah, it's part of the natural flow of the seasons.
Yes, absolutely. Very unnatural. Last night, early yesterday afternoon, if you were a Packer fan, because all season long, the Packers looked pretty good overall. And, you know, we were just out in Seattle 3 weeks ago, saw them out there. They looked fantastic. Boy, you lose to the Vikings, you lose at home to the Bears. And yesterday, the Packers lost to the Philadelphia Eagles by a score of 22-10 in the wild card division. The Packers season has come to an end. Did you watch any of the game?
I did. And every time the camera went over to Matt LaFleur, he just looked dead. He looked so sad.
Well, I thought the whole team kind of looked.
They did.
They just looked flat. I mean, Nixon fumbles the opening kickoff and return, and Philadelphia takes it in for a touchdown. It's 7-0 before it even began, basically.
And that's not good for morale.
No. And they lost, you know, basically the receiving core. Their center went down for the Packers. It was just injury after injury, but overall, I just didn't think the Packers looked fired up and ready to go. I think there'll be a lot of questions for the Packers, still one of, not the youngest team in the NFL, lots of opportunity. Look, you look at LaFleur's record, I mean, still one of the best coaches in the NFL, but they've got to, in this draft, by the way, coming up in April in Wisconsin, in Green Bay, the NFL draft. And so you're going to have the draft up there. They've got to get some help. Greg, watching on YouTube, says, get a new coach. Respectfully disagree, Greg. If you look at what LaFleur has done in general, I think he's a fine coach. Greg says Malik Willis for quarterback for the rest of whatever. Again, respectfully disagree. Malik Willis is a great backup quarterback, but a healthy, again, I don't think that Jordan Love watching him play yesterday was back to 100%. He's kind of been dinged up all year. So Love is still a quarterback of the future. LaFleur is the coach of the future. I got no problem. It's just they've got to get some help receiving. They've got for the offense. And, you know, certain other places they need some help on.
I agree with Tony.
Tony says, last year they got hot at the right time. This year they suffered too many injuries and got ice cold. Good team, great coach, bad timing. I agree with Tony as well. Look, I mean, some, you know, the cliche, that's the way the ball bounces. That's just one of those things where they, and the Eagles are a very good team. They're a very good team. They can make a deep run in this, I think. So, hey, it was a fun season. Go Pack Go for next season. And again, a lot of things are not going to shut down in Green Bay this year during the off season, quote unquote, because they're hosting the draft at Lambeau Field and Titletown District coming up in April. So lots of excitement still around the Packers. And also many thanks, a shout out to our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Nobody covers the Packers from an insider perspective. Nobody puts it down in ways we can understand it and brings us accurate, great inside information like Mike Clemens day in, day out. Thank you to him for all the work, for all the travel, and for the great coverage here at Civic Media and elsewhere. Mike Clemens always getting it done. And of course, now he kind of turns his focus. He covers the Bucks for us as well. And Wisconsin and Marquette basketball. So he'll keep doing it. And, you know, next month, pitchers and catchers report for the Brewers down in Arizona. Mike Clemens will continue to do that as well. So many thanks to Mike Clemens for his great job. Off the text line, Andrew in Maine listening on WAUK says the Packers will have their opportunity maybe in 2030. Come on now. Come on now. Andrew also says not everyone can be the 2024 Lions. Well, that's true. I mean, the Lions, I mean, they just look unstoppable. Of course, they got the bye this week. So we'll see this coming week if Lions could continue that big mo. Larry, listening in Deerfield on WMDX, says Josh Jacobs did not look flat. There is hope, folks. 100% agree. Josh Jacobs is one who really was engaged, kept fighting all the way to the end. So, yes, there are definitely some bright spots, Larry, and all our Packer fans out there, including myself. Look, I'm still optimistic. As Tony said earlier, it just wasn't the Packers' year. We'll talk more about that later on this week with Trigvi Olsen, one of those Packer owners, when he joins the show here, I believe, on Thursday of this week. So, also in the college football scene, your national championship matchup is set. It will be Notre Dame facing the Ohio State University, as Ohio State was able to get the win on Friday night. So it'll be Notre Dame versus Ohio State 1 week from tonight. Next Monday, huge day and night. You got the Trump inauguration at high noon in D.C., 11 o'clock our time. And then you've got the college football national championship that evening on ESPN. So big day.
Mentioning the Ohio State University reminds me, Charlie Behrens has a video he put out recently, a short little video where he's wearing an Ohio State sweater or jersey or something.
Really?
And saying all these good things. He's like, you know, I've really come to love Ohio and their their football team, and I've fallen in love with somebody who goes there. And, you know, just spending time there, I come to love Ohio State University. And at that moment, a red dot from like a laser pointer of a sniper appears on his forehead. And he's like, the Ohio State University. Did I do good?
Very, the Buckeye fans, they're very sensitive about calling.
It's like a hostage situation.
The Ohio State University, not just Ohio State. So there you go. Also, some big show today coming up in hour two. We'll give you a chance on what's worse to call in, let your voices be heard. Today's subject, driving. So tune in for hour two to talk about that. It's a full moon tonight, the wolf moon. We'll talk about that a little bit. And what else we got going on? TikTok looks like that could go away very soon. Former Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher was talking about that on CBS. Going to have a cut from him talking about social media influencers and the market. TikTok leading the way at 56%. The Pete Hegseth confirmation coming up for Defense Secretary in Washington, D.C. this week. That could get very interesting, as well. But first of all, a couple of top news stories around the country and around the state. Going to talk in a minute about Wisconsin Senate Republicans. They voted for putting this referendum up in April on voter ID. But now it comes out over the weekend, for the first time in nearly two decades, the Wisconsin State Senate will not have a designated election committee. Say what? I love these guys. I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but we'll talk. Why? If you think there's a problem with elections, wouldn't you want to have an election committee? So we'll talk. You would think. So we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute as well. But I want to lead off today with, again, the national story, as it should be, out in Los Angeles. The National Weather Service, according to The Hill, has issued the most dire warnings as winds pick up in the fire-scarred region of Los Angeles, California. Federal meteorologists have issued their most dire wildfire warnings for Los Angeles and Ventura counties as winds threaten to pick up through today into the hours of tomorrow and through Wednesday, alerting residents to a, quote, particularly dangerous situation, unquote. The National Weather Service Los Angeles branch described extreme risk and a need for, quote unquote, immediate action in three expansive areas that straddle these counties. It says, quote, heads up, strong, locally damaging northeast easterly winds will affect West Los Angeles County and much of Ventura County through Wednesday, the meteorologist warned. Critical fire weather is expected, so please, all in caps, have multiple ways of getting notifications in case new fires occur and prepare ahead of time, unquote. This is the first time that the National Weather Service Los Angeles branch has issued its most severe warning during the current spate of wildfires, according to the Los Angeles Times. As of this morning, three fires spanning 10 or more acres were burning, down from five on Friday, although many smaller blazes also dotted the border of Los Angeles metropolitan area. The Palisades fire, which has decimated the Pacific Palisades neighborhood, began on Tuesday morning and now has expanded to 23,000 acres plus. The blaze is only 14% contained, according to Cal Fire. The Eaton fire, burning north of Pasadena, began on Tuesday night, has ballooned to 14,000 acres plus with 33% containment. And the 799-acre Hearst fire, a blaze in the San Fernando Valley, also started on Tuesday night and has now 95% containment. Both the 395-acre Ladilla fire and the Angeles National Forest and the 1,000-plus-acre Kenneth fire near the 101 freeway in the West Hills region were 100% contained by today. Resources are being worn thin, personnel being worn thin. Our many firefighters, first responders, EMS, law enforcement, all of our service workers out in the Los Angeles area. And of note, many folks in those same areas coming from other states around California to help out. And important to note, international neighbors, firefighters from both Canada and Mexico have arrived in the greater Los Angeles area to help out our fellow American citizens out there. Again, we have listed it on our website, legitimate sources. If you want to give $5, $10, $100, whatever you can give, places like the World Kitchen. As you listen to these stories, again, it's beyond heartbreaking isn't the appropriate word. But people are left without their schools, without their markets. Going to be a long road back for these folks. We continue to keep in our thoughts and prayers, and all of us should do what we can. Come on back. Going to discuss Wisconsin politics a bit. If Republicans are so concerned about elections, why wouldn't you have a committee to address that? It's the All Ball Show for Monday on Civic Media.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As we approach the 15th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, we consider the estimated $15.9 billion spent in the 2024 campaign. While still tallying up the total, Money and Politics watchdog Open Secrets estimates the 2024 election cycle was the costliest ever, surpassing 2020's $15.1 billion. For context, the $15.9 billion estimate is larger than the state budgets of New Hampshire, Vermont, and Idaho combined. Only 24% of political contributions to candidates were small donations of $200 or less, down from 30% in 2020. When you consider contributions to PACs and other outside spending, that percentage drops further with only 16% from small donors. The top 1% of donors, they contributed an estimated 50% of all political contributions. That means by far, our elections are not funded by citizens who actually vote, but by wealthy special interests and corporations whose interests may not align with the majority of voters. Open Secrets projects that outside spending alone, mostly by super PACs, will reach $5 billion. Now that the election is over, it's the inaugural fund setting records. The New York Times reports that donors to the Trump inaugural have contributed over $170 million. More on that tomorrow. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 21 past the hour of 12 noon. From the big Gitchagumi, Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, from Green Bay to the Mississippi River, and all points in between, we welcome you into the show. Thanks for taking us with you, whether you're having lunch on a lunch break, taking care of the kids at home, taking care of mom or dad, or just enjoying a well-earned retirement. Wherever you're at today, we appreciate you coming on the show and coming along the journey with us here on a Monday. So, catching up on a couple of things for the weekend, because oftentimes it's not easy to keep up over the weekend. And we here at the All Ball Show do all the work so you don't have to. You can enjoy your weekend. We enjoy ours too. By the way, we had our holiday party on Saturday. That was a lot of fun. Zomers out at the arcade, and our friends from Richland Center and Baraboo came. Got to see the lovely and talented Mrs. Phil Nee, better known as June Nee. That was a lot of fun. And you were there. That was great. And Sugar River Pizza, great sponsors.
It was tasty.
It was fantastic.
They had a lot of items that weren't pizza. Their mac and cheese was very good. And so was they had butternut squash ravioli with red pepper cream sauce.
I did not try that. Was it good?
I wasn't going to because, you know, I was skeptical. But Luke said it was really good. So I tried it. It was actually very good.
Well, fantastic. Thanks to all the people that put that together. And cheers to everyone. All right. So here's so over the weekend, that was our big fun for the weekend. Otherwise, we're working on this show to bring you the latest information. Here now, our friends over at the great outfit Wisconsin Watch. We just had Jack Kelly on last week. Here's another great reporter at Wisconsin Watch, Alexander Schur at wisconsinwatch.org. The headline is Wisconsin Senate won't have a dedicated election committee. Now, that doesn't seem right. As a former Republican who left the party in 2011, specifically over voter suppression efforts, it was the Senate Republican Committee on Elections that authored, under former chairmanship of the former state senator Mary Lozick, who came up with all these bills to make it harder for people to get IDs, restricted what things could be classified as an ID. It was all meant to suppress the vote. So here now from Wisconsin Watch says, for the first time in nearly two decades, the Wisconsin Senate does not have a dedicated election committee, at least not in name. Even though Democrats and Republicans have multiple legislative priorities for the election administration in the coming legislative session, that does not mean election-related proposals will languish in some legislative limbo. It does mean, however, that they're likely not all going to a single committee for hearings and formal votes, which typically takes place before the full chamber hears and votes for a measure. This now from a spokesperson for the Republican Senate President, Mary Felskowski, who's in charge of referring bills to committee. Quote, given the broad range of topics included under the general elections, quote unquote, category, bills will be referred to committee on a case-by-case basis, said the political flack for Mary Felskowski. I was once a political flack for Dale Schultz. It just means a person who's a spokesperson. It's a fancy word. Representative Scott Krug, no, not my former boss, Krug, K-R-U-G, very different people, formerly the chair and currently the vice chair of the Assembly Elections Committee. Yes, even Robin Voss still has an Assembly Committee. So Representative Scott Krug said that the Senate's opting out of a designated election committee was, quote unquote, not my favorite idea. He said that he'd prefer election legislation going to just one committee, but added that he'll deal with the Senate dynamic the best that he can. In every election session since 2009, there has been a Senate committee formally dedicated to elections, though some of them also incorporated urban affairs, ethics, utilities, and rural issues. Last session, election bills went to the Senate committee that oversaw elections along with two other policy areas, shared revenue and consumer protection. All right, let me stop there and step away from this article in Wisconsin Watch. It is not, and again, I worked in the Senate for many years, it is not uncommon to group different things together into one committee. Because you think, well, how many election bills are actually going to come through this committee? How many shared revenue bills or what have you? And so you try to make, and if you have a good Senate majority leader, what he or she will do is think in terms of how do these things relate, like higher ed and tech colleges, right? Or universities and tech colleges. You make it the higher ed committee. So it's not unusual that you would not have a standalone election committee. But now under Devin LeMahieu, the Senate Republicans of Wisconsin won't have a committee with elections as a part of it formally at all. Back to this article in Wisconsin Watch says, this time it's not so clear which Senate election bills, or which Senate committee election bills will go to. Could it be government operations, labor, and economic development? How about transportation or local government? Or there's licensing, regulatory reform, state and federal affairs. Says Senate Republican leaders either would not say or did not appear to know, as of today, which committees might generally handle election legislation. Now, why would these people do this? Let me tell you one theory, as someone who worked in the Senate. As they point out in this article in Wisconsin Watch, one of the real powers of the Senate, so unlike in the Assembly, the Senate the Assembly Speaker, right? That's the number one person that makes all the decisions, really. In the Senate, it's really not the president, it's the majority leader who has all of the power, or the majority of the power, no pun intended, in the state Senate. However, the Senate president, one of their greatest powers, is the Senate president and their staff, they decide which committee every bill will go to. Now, normally, because whatever chamber or whatever political party controls the Senate, they control the Senate Majority Leader's office and the President's office. So when my boss was, former boss was Senate Majority Leader, he and then President Mike Ellis and also Alan Lissay worked very closely. And there weren't too many times when a bill got sent to a committee that the Senate Majority Leader didn't want it to go to. But with that power, you could also kill a bill. We'll come back explain it, tell you why they might want to do that. Don't go anywhere. It's the Town Hall Ball Show for a Monday, January 13th. Your calls as well, 855-752-4842 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
There's one thing for sure. Anybody listening to this report is not getting any younger. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Monday. And the National Pork Board is ready to address that. Emily Krause is the National Pork Board's Director of Health and Wellness. She says as people age, their flavor profiles can change, and the pork industry is ready to address that. She said the bottom line is they want to focus on dietary needs and flavor profile.
Talking about cooking temperature, and I know that's not the most fun, but food safety and eating experience are really important to getting people to even get to that convenience factor and getting to purchase pork. And so we've really talked with healthcare professionals who we've found have been giving outdated information on cooking temperatures, that 145 followed by that 3-minute rest is going to be that best way to get a good eating experience.
That's Emily Krause. She's the National Pork Board's Director of Health and Wellness. She said while they are addressing the aging population that goes to the grocery store, the Pork Board also going to be focusing in on the next generation of consumers, exposing kindergartners to learning more about pork and giving them an idea that it can be a part of a balanced diet and it tastes good. Markets look real good on the midday. I've got numbers next.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
What makes Dairyland Seed silage unique? Better. Designed specifically to maximize tonnage potential in the upper Midwest, Dairyland Seed silage products contain higher starch content and the highest level of fiber digestibility for optimized milk production. And to help get even more milk in the tank, these elite genetics are supported by your dedicated local dealer and direct access to a team of leading agronomists and silage experts. Better silage, better support, better results. That's the Dairyland Seed difference. Meet our 2025 lineup at DairylandSeedSilage.com.
Like I said, for a Monday, our corn and soybean price is pretty impressive. So far, we've got March corn up a nickel at 476, December new crop up a nickel at 455. On the midday, March soybeans are currently 17 cents stronger at 1042. November's up a dime at 1041. March wheat currently 9.5 cents higher at 540. July new crop up 8.5 at 563. And right now, it looks like February class 3 milk that goes into cheese currently 8 cents stronger at 2035 a hundredweight. March milk's up 7 at 2003 a hundredweight. So just a brief snapshot on what's happening with the agribusiness market so far on a partly sunny Monday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Sunny and cold today, with high temperatures tapping the mid-teens and winds blustery, whipping up to 30 miles per hour, creating frigid wind chills where we're really feeling sub-zero all day, and a chance of a few flurries flying around late. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 10 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him. And I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SavedByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Why should you care that the North Carolina Supreme Court just stopped the election and seating of a liberal justice to the North Carolina Supreme Court? We discuss next at 2 p.m.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, January 13th, 2025. Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you along talking about this article over the weekend. Actually, today in Wisconsin Watch, for the first time in nearly 20 years, the Wisconsin State Senate will not have a committee which specifically addresses elections, campaign elections. A little odd, in my opinion, tongue in cheek. I mean, it's very odd that for my former party, which I left in 2011, you know, the first thing they pushed through is the voter ID bill, which, as I've said in this program, I don't have a real problem with voter ID per se to vote. I mean, I just, you know, I have U.S. Cellular, which I've talked about on this program, for my cell phone carrier. I can't go in and get any information, change my billing. I can't do anything with my U.S. Cellular account unless I present them with a photo, government photo ID. So I don't have a problem with voter ID per se. What I have a problem with, and it's why I left the Republican Party in 2011, because I saw behind closed doors Republican state senators, not all, but several, specifically write bills which use that requirement for photo ID as a way to manipulate the difficulty or ease of which Wisconsin and American citizens were able to vote and exercise their constitutional right. So I'm fine with voter ID as long as there are additional laws that say we're going to accept a formal student ID. Any university now creates, when you register and for classes or whatever, you get a student ID. Zomers, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of them now have barcodes or QR codes and everything that you're used. You use that within the university, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like these are super easy to duplicate or replicate or fraud. So I think the university, tech college, any sort of formal school ID should be able to be used. I think that all Wisconsin citizens, American legal citizens, should have access. I mean, you can get a free Wisconsin ID now, which a lot of people don't know. You don't have to have a driver's license. So you can get a driver's license, or if you haven't passed your classes and all that, or you just don't want to drive, that's fine. You can go to any Wisconsin DMV office and get a free Wisconsin ID. Make sure that every Wisconsinite has that. But back in 2011, I witnessed as some of these Republican state senators intentionally wanted to make it more difficult to get an ID or a driver's license. So by discouraging particularly black and brown folks in places like Milwaukee and Madison and on college campuses across Wisconsin, two demographics that, not as a monolith, but more often than not, tend to vote more Democratic. And so it was meant to suppress the vote. At the very least, we should be having thoughtful discussions, debates, public hearings that are broadcast on Wisconsin Eye, the Wisconsin version of C-SPAN, and media should be able to cover these in the light of day. And now comes word from this article on WisconsinWatch.org today that Republican Senate Leader Devin Lemieux, in conjunction with his colleagues, are not even going to have a committee that formally deals with elections and campaigns. And you'd say, well, why is that? Especially since they're so amped up and think they're, well, of course, there really isn't a big problem in Wisconsin with voter fraud, but that's why they claim to be pushing this voter ID bill or a referendum going on the April ballot. So if they really thought there was a problem or an issue with voting in elections in this state, wouldn't you think that they would at least formalize and say, we're going to name a committee to deal with those issues? My guess is, based on experience, the reason they don't name a committee that deals with this is therefore the Senate president, along with the majority leader, Devin Lemieux, they can secretly assign bills on elections to various committees, which makes it harder for the general public to track and makes it harder for the legacy media, which is already overworked in the Capitol press room, to keep track of this as well, which means there'll be fewer opportunities for Wisconsin citizens to go in and have their voices heard at committee hearings, therefore less public input, therefore less opposition, which means that Republicans in Wisconsin State Senate can try to push through some of the most egregious voter suppression bills without it being noticed until it gets to the floor of the state Senate. And by that time, it's too late. And again, it's unfortunate this is happening, but it gives me an opportunity to lay out for you from one person's perspective, mine, why I left and why my party and why I think the Republican Party of today has so many issues. And not to say that the Democratic Party doesn't have their own issues. I always was raised from my political mentors that you should win elections based on your ideas, and you should go to the general public, the electorate, and say, vote for me or for our party because we most represent ideas that are going to address the concerns of our community, state, and nation, not tearing down the other side. And the problem that has happened with the current iteration of the Republican Party is they have reached, and believe me, they're not stupid. They look at the same polling and everything else that everybody else has. They know that many of their ideas do not connect with 50% plus one of the electorate. So the way that you then win elections is by spreading misinformation and or suppressing the other side's vote. And these so-called, you know, voter ID, apart from voter ID, but the rest of these bills are meant to suppress the vote. And now we have evidence today that Senate Republicans aren't even going to have a committee to deal with elections. So I just wanted to pass the information on because I think, you know, some of these Republican representatives, I mean, everybody, regardless of party, legislators have town halls, at least some of them still do, and go out. They have listening sessions now, quote unquote, where they come in and they say, like Howard Markline in Southwest Wisconsin, I'm really here just to listen. And so they ask him questions. Well, I'm just here to listen. And they're never held accountable. Hold your legislators accountable, Republican, Democratic, Independent. But ask your Republican state senator why they don't have a committee for elections this session. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Jack in Merrimack. Jack, it's always a pleasure. What say you?
Well, first of all, it just totally amazes me that with the huge amount of voter fraud that we have in the state of Wisconsin, they don't have a committee to deal specifically with that.
Right.
Of course, the chief fraudster convicted of felonious financial fraud got elected to the presidency. That's probably why they don't need to bother with it this time around. Mm-hmm. But this kind of useless and voter suppressive legislation, it needs to be dealt with, and it should have been dealt with in the beginning of Biden's term, but it needs to be dealt with at the federal level. We need a federal law that states absolutely, unequivocally, and clearly that every adult American citizen has the right to vote, and that any law, regulation, or activity that interferes with that right is null, void, and illegal.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, you can specify things, you know, like egregious gerrymandering. Gee, I wonder where that's happened. Ridiculously demanding voter ID. Atrociously demanding mail-in absentee ballots. In Wisconsin, a wife can't even hand in or legally mail her husband's ballot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
Right.
And I mean, I've been an observer for the League of Women Voters in several elections, and I've seen people come in with their spouse's ballots, and theirs gets accepted, their spouse's does not. Even though it's a sealed, signed, and certified envelope, they can't hand that in. I mean, this is just absolutely ridiculous, you know, and let's not even go into purging tens of thousands at a time from voter rolls or moving polling places around. I've had to change my polling location where I vote at least three times in the last 5 years. You know, and the removal of certified they're called drop boxes. That's their certified ballot collection box. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah,
and it's got to stop. Somehow we need to get that taken care of at the federal level.
Appreciate the call, Jack. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Robert, listening in beautiful West Dallas on WAUK down in Waukesha. Robert, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. What says me is I wish Governor Evers would use the power of the executive branch. These guys love it at the federal level, but at the state, they keep trying to weaken the governor. The elections and the new reality with fair maps is you have a 15-18, but these committees are not representative. And I would like Governor Evers to tell them full stop. Anything you send over here is dead on arrival until we get committees that make up or represent the actual representation on what people voted for. People did not vote for LeMahieu or Voss to run everything. Mm-hmm. They lost seats. So let's get into reality here.
I mean, I appreciate your outlook on being more representative. I agree, but you know, it's just the executive branch should not, in my opinion, be messing around the legislative branch and telling them how to run their committees. More so than you know, the legislative branch should tell the governor, you know, how to run his committees or his agencies, that sort of thing. And also the other point is, I've been around long enough that when Democrats controlled the state Senate, I mean, the committee makeup was the same. I mean, it's just the tradition of how they make the majority always controls the committees by at least one. That's just the way it goes. And so,
yeah, and that's fair. But if you look at finance and you have like an 8-4 split, that's no way representative.
Well, I totally agree. But when the Democrats ran the assembly, it was the same thing. So that's what the legislature has gone for quite a while. But I appreciate the call. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Watching on YouTube, Chad says, shout out to the Wisconsin Dems for proposing a massive zero bills to start the session. Odd that you don't mention that. Well, I just did, Chad. How about that? I talked on the show last week. I'm not sure if you saw it or not, or tuned in. Don't expect people to tune in every day. But my criticism of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin was, if I would have been them, I think it would have been more effective to meet Van Wongard, the chairman of the committee that did hear this bill or the referendum, to say, look, we get it. We agree. Only American citizens should be voting. We agree with you on that. So we can go along with voter ID, but Senator Wongard is a former law enforcement officer. Wouldn't you also agree that we should have law-abiding citizens, you know, American citizens, have it as easy as possible for them to legally vote? Make sure that we're not leaving anybody behind. Put him in a box. Put the Republicans and Van Wongard on the defense rather than Democrats playing defense all the time. And I agree with you. I agree with you, Chad, that I'm sure that they do have a legislative agenda, or at least I would hope they do. But have I seen or read that specifically? No. And I think, again, that's where you have to have people that say, hey, here are the three things that we're going to work. I mean, we had the lieutenant governor on last week. That's why I'm so impressed with her. She didn't waste time on divisive stuff. She right away out of the box said, I think that we can work with Republicans on housing. And that's something I don't care if you're in Amory or if you're in Milwaukee, rural, urban. Housing is a major issue. And that's what our legislature and our governor should be working on together. 855-752-4842. Back after this is the Todd Oliveall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As we approach the 15th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, we consider the estimated $15.9 billion spent in the 2024 campaign. While still tallying up the total, Money and Politics watchdog Open Secrets estimates the 2024 election cycle was the costliest ever, surpassing 2020's $15.1 billion. For context, the $15.9 billion estimate is larger than the state budgets of New Hampshire, Vermont, and Idaho combined. Only 24% of political contributions to candidates were small donations of $200 or less, down from 30% in 2020. When you consider contributions to PACs and other outside spending, that percentage drops further with only 16% from small donors. The top 1% of donors, they contributed an estimated 50% of all political contributions. That means by far our elections are not funded by citizens who actually vote, but by wealthy special interests and corporations whose interests may not align with the majority of voters. Open Secrets projects that outside spending alone, mostly by super PACs, will reach $5 billion. Now that the election is over, it's the inaugural fund setting records. The New York Times reports that donors to the Trump inaugural have contributed over $170 million. More on that tomorrow. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Oliveall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock on Monday, January 13th, 2025. Looking forward to hour number 2. We have a what's worst for you. What's worse on driving? Want to weigh in on that? And then Zomers knows I'm very excited about this. We're talking Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, in hour 2. At least partly.
I am also looking forward to that discussion.
This is going to be fantastic. Great week to this. Great way to start the week. Dave, listening out of New Berlin, texting in on the text line. You can too on the Civic Media app. Simply download it for free on your Apple or Android device. Dave in New Berlin says, shout out to Todd for entertaining those that disagree. It's easy to talk to someone that always agrees with you. You're doing hard work and reaching out. Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. But that's really the ethos of this show. I welcome people that disagree with me because you know what? It turns out I'm not always right. Surprisingly. But that's one of the goals this year. I mean, I think we did an okay job last year of welcoming different voices on this show. That's one of the key goals here this year. Is to welcome voices to differentiate. It doesn't mean we're always going to agree. It doesn't mean I'm going to endorse someone else's position. But we should be able to openly talk about things, even if we disagree. Because I go back to what I learned with Trigvy and with Jane Matt Nair. By the way, congrats to Jane. I heard today that they've got like cool hats now. And I say, God bless her. She deserves it. Because, I mean, you know, she's worked in this. She's a legend in the industry. We're just a little dog and pony show over here just trying to make ends meet. So, God love her. I heard they're very stylish.
I'll have to take a look.
Yeah, absolutely. But when Jane and I were driving around the state on our tour, And Trigvi Olsen and I have done several of these, the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour. There are so many, and I know this is trite and cliche, but I've found out myself it's true that there are great folks all across this state that may vote for different people come November, but still contribute to our local communities. They give to local fundraisers for the local public schools, which are our communities. They're helping out at the blood drive in town. They're working and volunteering at the local thrift store to raise money for folks in need. They're working in community gardens. And I want to focus more this year on those folks. And because they come from both political sides of the aisle. And it doesn't mean I'm going to give up my opinions on politics. No, we're going to talk about those, but hopefully we'll do it in a respective way. One other note from state headlines over the weekend, because we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the State Building Commission, which had stopped once again UW-Madison's engineering building, because it turned out Chancellor Schmidt up there at Eau Claire saved $70 million. His new science hall up there came in way under budget. And so the building commission, which is run by the governor's staff, essentially, although there are legislators on it, the building commission a couple, 3 weeks ago said, wait a minute, hold on here. You got to explain where this savings came from and why you're taking the savings from Eau Claire and divvying it up somewhere else, because there was no transparency. Well, the building commission has now approved funding for UW-Madison's engineering building. The commission approves revised proposal to shift unspent funds. The new proposal broke up the $70 million left over at UW-Eau Claire into two chunks, requiring two votes. It was a unanimous vote to send $29 million to the engineering building here in Madison, and $5.4 million to Stout, and $10.5 million to UW-Whitewater. On a 5-3 vote, it shifted $25 million to a small project fund. Governor Evers, quote-unquote, bemoaned, unnecessary delay on critical projects, a central part of Wisconsin's ability to compete, recruit, train, and retrain talented workforce. And he said, quote, it's absolutely essential we support UW's important work. I agree with you, Governor, that we should support the work, but maybe your staff should have been more prepared and more transparent with legislators who simply wanted transparency in the process. Meanwhile, UW President Rothman on X, formerly known as Twitter, said he was thankful for the new facility and funding and small projects like upgrading elevators, replacing roofs, fire alarms, and insulation on pipes. By the way, we'll do a larger segment some other time on this because we got busy. Rothman wants more control over hiring people without region approval. You're doing a great job, Brownie. Ah, Jay.
He's doing the best he can.
He's doing the best we can. How much time? We got a couple minutes left here. A couple other quick notes. The House of Representatives out in D.C. passed the farm bill over the weekend. Mark Pocan, Democrat from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, weighed in on the extension via WISP Politics, saying, quote, I know we did a long extension on it, but one of the problems, and this isn't a Republican or Democratic problem, is, you know, if we do an extension, we wait till the end to deal with it rather than just dealing with it. It really does do a lot more for Southern farmers than Northern farmers. They actually got a lot more subsidies. Granted, a lot of the Republican members are from the South, but this is a nation of 50 states, and we need a bill that works for every farmer, including Wisconsin, unquote. Meanwhile, Republican Derek Van Orten of Western Wisconsin, who is on the Ag Committee, said, quote, so that bill, was it perfect? No. Was it a great bill? Yes. So what I would like to see everybody do here, if you're represented by a Democrat in the Senate, which Wisconsin has Tammy Baldwin, make sure that when the farm bill gets to the House, they pick it up and pass it in an expeditious manner. Well, of course, that's what Van Orden thinks. Because Republicans aren't doing the hard work. They're taking old prices and making farmers and ag producers deal with that into the future. Completely impractical. Back with hour two after this. It's the All Both Show and Civic Media.
News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, our colleague Jimmy Cuska joins us to talk about potential changes within Wisconsin sports. Not everybody's happy. And how much money are we spending already on that Wisconsin Supreme Court race? Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Inauguration Day now 1 week away. President-elect Trump will be sworn into office for a second term. Homeland Security naming presidential inaugurations as a national special security event. Matt McCool, a special agent in charge for the Secret Service in D.C.
This designation allows the federal government, along with our state and local partners, to use all available resources to implement a comprehensive security plan.
Senate confirmation hearings, meantime, getting underway this week for more than a dozen of President-elect Trump's key cabinet nominees. In Southern California, fire crews and residents bracing for another round of gale and hurricane-force winds. Firefighters are racing to gain control over the Eaton and Palisades fires, blamed for at least two dozen deaths. Apple resisting demands for the company to end its diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, also known as DEI initiatives. And a tsunami warning has been lifted after an earthquake in southwestern Japan earlier. This is ABC News.